time for the In the Conversation podcast with funny man Damian Lemon and the voice of your choice, Ali Muhammad.
This is Damian Lemon.
This is Ali Muhammad.
And this is In the Conversation,
the podcast.
Yes, yes. We here. Yeah. We back. June. The bloom. Hot than a motherfucker. You know what I mean? It's hot outside, and yet again, I have no clothes ready for this shit. I'm just out here putting shit together, man. It might be a white tea summer.
Unprepared niggas.
Super unprepared, man. It is what it is. I don't like shopping, though. I don't like shopping at all. So as much as I say I'm unprepared, I know why. I've tried to prepare myself. I've gone to some of the sites. I've even gone to some of the places in person. I'm just like, man, I don't got the time for this shit.
Fuck it.
Yeah, what happens?
Get me a pack of white tees.
Make it simple. Make it simple. If you could catch them, you got to start trying to buy your white tees, nigga, like back in March. Because around now, them shits, they've been going. Them shits has been going. Unless you wear a small or a triple XL, you might be assed out.
You
got
to go to a more specialty, not specialty shop, but you got to pay a little more premium on them.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, you got. Yeah, they'll be around. You got to get the expansies.
H&M got some good white tees.
Really?
On the looser front, the thinner front, you know what I'm saying? Like, on the thicker front. And if you, you ain't tripping on a wash and get rid of, a good Old Navy got you covered.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, at your worst case scenario type of tip situation. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Probably had to get a size up and, you know what I mean? But you might get 2-3 wears out that bitch is over.
Okay.
One crisp one. The rest of it is undershirt action.
Yeah. Tucked away. Yeah, for sure.
Undergarment ass action after the first wear.
Right. Underlay. Yeah. Yeah. Just an accent at this point. Just an accent.
Yeah. Just let them know. You know what I'm saying? Got your shirt open, little white shit clean.
Mm-hmm.
But the first wear, you're going to get it off. You know what I'm saying? You're going to get it off on that first wear.
Uh-huh. Like some Air Force Ones back in the day.
Yeah.
Especially, I'm not going to lie, I was guilty of them. Some barbershop Air Force Ones. I definitely.
Yeah, you got one good time.
You got one weekend, if that. I did those shits to South Beach one weekend.
You can't even brush your shoelaces down in them.
Mm-mm. Nah. That's an in and out. It's an in and out. It's done deal.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
But that's what it is, man. Summertime. About to really be official summertime, but you know. Chilling out here, trying not to sweat. You know?
Word.
Yeah. That made me think of, what's that, Dre or Big Boy? Sitting in a hot, not sweat. What's that, what record is that? So now we sitting in.
Bombs over Baghdad?
Yes. So now we sitting in, I can't remember, was it Ragtop? Yeah. Not Ragtop. Yeah.
I just remember, when you said it, I could remember how fast that shit went.
Right,
You know what I'm saying? It's that Bombs over Baghdad.
I remember when that first came out, that was so different. Everybody was like, yo, what the fuck is this? This is some other shit.
Yeah. It's like rap niggas on a bass beat. With just rock and roll sensibility.
Yeah, that shit has so many different elements going on in it. And it's so crazy how soon it just became, you know, I won't say normal because it's still not normal. It's definitely a different type of record, but it was just accepted. You know, that's just what the Outkast do. They're going to do some different shit.
Yeah.
Get down.
Yeah, and here we go. It's a trip because they just like, it's like they pulled their sound out of nowhere. You know what I'm saying? And then changed it every time. But every time, people just locked in and accepted it. You know what I'm saying? Like, shit, hey, y'all, nigga, what the fuck was that?
Yeah.
And then it just became a standard.
Yeah, yeah. Kings of the pivot. You see yeah. Dre out here really pushing the pivot one more time. One more time. And this one is there's a little resistance on this pivot.
There's a little resistance on the I love the pivot. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I don't think he got his outside stage show together yet. I think that shit is more for the Indo theater crowd. You know what I'm saying? Art community.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It ain't for the 50,000 people out on the lawn.
Not when they've been drinking. You know what I mean?
Gotta be serving white wine.
Yeah.
Exclusively.
Exactly. Well, yeah, and you might have to cut people off. That's enough. Stay open minded, please.
You know what I'm saying? You gotta have it in LA. Cookies is your goddamn sponsor. You know what I'm saying? They pass around the little vapes.
With the indica. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
He got to start there. You know what I'm saying? And perfect the craft on that shit.
Yeah.
If that's what he want to do, you know.
Right. I appreciate the commitment, but I can feel the patience of the audience being tested. So this is a great battle. This is a great battle. This is the commitment versus who's going to hit the threshold first? You know, I think that, you know, I hope that it all works out for the best. And I think it will. To your point, I think right now it is an indoor event. Or a very well-curated event. This might not be for the open air and for everybody just yet. Mainly because, and I've heard him say this, is he don't really know how to replay any of the records from the record. Mm-hmm. You know? So if you are a fan, first of all, that's the win already. If you are a fan and you came through and you want to hear number four, that might not happen for you. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's a lot of we just moving and shaking, baby. This is loose. This is creative license in the flesh, in the wind.
We vibing, yeah. Baby.
We are vibing. Hang on and stay focused, please. So we will see. And I think he gotta still go by Andre Benjamin. Just to set the tone from the door. Andre 3K still sets it up for like it's just a sliver of anticipation or possibility that he might just say, you know what, fuck this. Drop the flute and jump into a verse. So I say go by Andre Benjamin. But this is what I'm also thinking. I had this thought too. Because I don't think he's been booed or nothing yet. You know, and I won't say yet. But at this point, I won't say yet. Pardon me. Let me take that out the universe. But again, like I said, I think patience is growing thin. Right now, it's kind of fun. It's something people are making a little bit of content off of, and I know he's self-aware about that, and so he probably sees that, you know what I mean? So right now, things are still in concert, right?
Mm-hmm.
But if things take a turn, or even if they don't take a turn, maybe, I'm curious, because part of, you know, from what I understand, part of what got him into this, not only just the fact that he liked the flute, but it was just feeling like you ain't really had nothing to say on the mic. You know, and this is something sometimes if you don't feel like you're doing something creatively in what you're known for or what your main discipline is, sometimes you go off to the side and you just kind of entertain something else to hopefully spark some creativity or open your mind up to new ideas. So part of me is thinking like, as, you know, he's starting to get the reactions, you know what I mean, for what he's doing with this flute, is he processing them shits and going home and writing bars? Like, you know what I mean? Almost kind of preparing a revenge album on you niggas. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, y'all niggas ain't never liked the motherfucking flute. I can't even do a Drake. You know what I mean? But just putting some shit together for you motherfuckers that he probably still might not release out of spite. You might have to get that years and years later, the Fuck You album. But that's just me pulling some more, hopefully, possibility anticipation, you know, out of thin blue, out of the fucking new blue sun. Anyway, so that's that, man. Shout out to, I don't even know how we got into that, man, but shout out to Dre, to Pivot, and everything else, into trying to find a good white tee out there.
Yeah, I mean, and to that, you know what I'm saying? Well, like you said, he not replaying the stuff from the album. I had a friend that was there. I had a few people that was there. And, you know, of course they wanted to be respectful. They wanted to be nice. They wanted to enjoy it. But, you know what I'm saying?
Like that they wanted to.
Yeah, and then, you know, the description was that the flute just was going all over the place. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I just seen a clip of it just, you know what I'm saying? I seen a clip where it sounded cool. Like, it's like, oh, shit, this shit about to go down. And then I saw another clip that it was just like, nigga, as you're just up there blowing the wind in the pipe, nigga, what is going on? You know what I'm saying? But it's just when you have to amplify the flute, and then you got the people, it's thousands of people, they've been drinking, they outside, they got other shit to be focused on, you outside, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
It didn't sound like it was going to engage them in, you know what I'm saying? Because the flute ain't really got a recognizable melody, you know what I'm saying? It's just, you know what I'm saying?
It's like a butterfly. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's like, you know, Herbie Hancock and them, they'll play a flute, but they got a rhythm, you know what I'm saying? They can start their foundation of a song, you know what I'm saying? And then let the flute do its thing. But here the flute is the foundation, which means you just follow this, like you said, like a butterfly or some shit. You just all over the place.
Yeah. I don't know if they got any, like, I don't know if they make a bass flute. You know what I'm saying? Something with just a little bit more oomph for the outdoors. You know what I mean? Just something that sounds like some shit that Dre EQ'd, you know, to cut through. But it is what it is, man. Word. Salute to the people that are out there listening and keeping an open mind and an open heart. You know, if you were somebody that was at any of these flute festival gigs, let us know what your thoughts were. Let us know. We're curious. Anyway, man. Oh, how you shit. Doing, man?
Nigga say the flute festival.
He been out there on the festival circuit, man. He on the festival circuit.
Oh, my God. Oh, man, I'm all right, my nigga. You know?
Okay.
Uh-huh. You know, it's tough sometimes, you know what I'm saying? And I ain't the, you know what I'm saying, shout out to Mental Health Month, Men's Mental Health. And I ain't the nigga that's, you know, all into that type shit. You know what I'm saying? I'm usually self-regulating and, you know what I'm saying, can make sense of the world on my own. And, you know what I'm saying, now that I've been back up, you know, I got a new relationship to the world. I've said that many times. And sometimes that shit gets a little, you know what I'm saying, gets a little frustrating. It gets a little, you know, when you can't move how you, like, think how you want to think and see your way through problems the way you want to see them. It gets a little frustrating, you know what I'm saying? If you find yourself feeling a little off-put, you know what I mean? And out of center, you know? So, and I haven't dealt with that, you know what I'm saying? I just try to get by, try to make it through, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, I'm at a point now where I gotta fucking deal with myself. You know what I'm saying? Because I haven't been able to talk. No, I'm usually able to talk to myself positively. You know what I'm saying? Give myself the answer. You know what I'm saying? Well, take the whispers from God and interpret them for myself. And I haven't been able to do that. So I could feel the frustration. I ain't there. I ain't tripping or no shit like that. But I could feel it. You know, I could feel, you know, as the motherfuckers be on the internet. I ain't saying that I would, but I understand how niggas be tripping. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah. So, you know, I hope this ain't like a indictment of character and motherfuckers be like, this nigga out here tripping. Because I ain't. You know what I'm saying? It's just a internal review of a nigga's self. You know what I'm saying? And I have to changed the dialogue that I have flowing through my own self about my own self and turn it into something more positive. You know what I'm saying? Because I know, it's, you know, I'm blessed. You know what I'm saying? I'm happy to be here. Could have been a whole nother way. Could be a lot worse. You know, all those things. But you do have to get through wherever the fuck you at. And that's where I'm at. But other than that, I've been cool.
I like that, though. I like that. That is the expansive.
That makes sense. But
hell yeah. Make a whole lot of sense, man. It's better than, I'm good. I'm chilling. Am I? You did the expansive version. You explained it, and just to round it all out though, I'm good, you know. But shit is real out here.
Yeah,
shit. Yeah, man.
You know what I'm saying? It's a trip because, I kind of shook myself. You know what I'm saying? What was that Friday? Mm-hmm. I went to Kenny Burns had a. Mm. A documentary release. You know what I'm saying? He's the second documentary on himself. Like I said, mm-hmm. we talked about one the first time he did it. And the question was, why, you know what I'm saying? Does a nigga have the license to do his own documentary? You know what I'm saying? And after seeing it, I agreed that he did. And I wish I had footage of my own to do my own. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
Or the wherewithal to even break down yourself to others. You know what I'm saying? Via visuals, like we doing here. So in this particular one, it's called What Matters Most. And it's a lot about his family, a lot about, you know, how he did what he did and, you know, where he going. And for a nigga that's kind of like ambiguous, like people really don't know how he really get down. You know what I'm saying? They really don't. They see him. They see his pictures on the internet. They see him hosting the mic in the club and shit like that. But they don't really know how he get down. So you could easily reduce that shit to, you know, oh, he's just like a club nigga. You know what I'm saying? And it's a lot more than that. And it takes a lot more skill and a lot more marketing, advertising, know-how to actually accomplish the things that he's accomplishing. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So, you know, I go to the shit, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, to watch the movie, you know what I'm saying? It's in a theater, they got it, you know what I'm saying? It's laid out. And, you know, as he's going through the shits, you know what I'm saying? I could, like, the main place where he was started the thing at, it was at, like, Strength of a Woman. I had a crew in that motherfucker shooting for Revolt. You know what I'm saying? You know, he showed some pictures from another party. One of them was from the event we did in Miami in the tent on the beach where Outkast performed. You know what I'm saying? And so with those things, you start to see, okay, we was riding in these same spaces. And we already knew that, but now you see it. You know what I'm saying? And it's a different thing when somebody amalgamates, you know what I'm saying, takes all these things collectively and put them together in visuals. It gives you a different storytelling approach than just saying, yeah, I did this, I did that, right? So as I'm watching it, I'm seeing my own little journey going along with it, knowing that I could have not been here to even see this or experience this shit. So as it's going through, you know what I'm saying, it's giving a story of you know, the shit he had to go through with the family, with Revolt. I'm sitting here at Revolt. You know what I'm saying? So it's kind of like intertwined in the way that he's telling the story. And when it's all said and done, you know what I'm saying, it's a great breakdown of who he is as a business person, for real. You know what I'm saying? How brands can utilize him and how he successfully worked with different brands to do certain things. So it's a great pitch deck. You know what I'm saying? It's the best pitch deck of them all. You can't even do a deck that's going to break it down a lot better than that. You know what I'm saying? So mm-hmm. I could see how that shit is going to affect business for him. He ain't even got to take it many places. You know what I'm saying? Just, it's done. You know what I'm saying? Shout out. The cat who did it, I forget his new name. He got a new name now. But he was Philly the God back in the day.
Okay.
Philly the God. He's a Hebrew Israelite now. So he got a new name. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
So, but he's still shooting. And the beauty of it, what that nigga did was, you know, you taking all these old footage from different types of cameras from back in the days and across time. They did a great job with processing the audio, making that bitch sound all even throughout the different types of tapes that was used to make it. But anyway, so I watched that shit. All good. I see a few people that I know. Felt kind of weird because, you know what I'm saying, I'm always self-conscious because I'm moving. In my mind, I'm moving weird. Nobody don't really see it, but I feel like it. Like, motherfucker be like, hey, you know what I'm saying? You know how when you say, hey, somebody, and they kind of look like, oh, you all right? You know what I'm saying? It was that look, but they probably wasn't even thinking that. It was just me feeling that way. Mm-hmm. You right. know what I'm saying? So it's like, because usually I would have, you know what I'm saying, got up and, you know what I'm saying, stood and had a conversation, but now I'm sitting trying to turn sideways and shit. It's crazy. But anyway, leave, and I wanted to get something to eat because it was kind of, you know what I'm saying, it was probably about 9 and shit. Let me get something to eat. But then it was like a water main break in Atlanta, so the restaurants was closed and shit. I'm like, ah. So I just started walking further up Peachtree. I'm just walking and thinking and shit, thinking about my life. Think about how I processed, how I did my journey, shit I could have did differently. You know what I'm saying? I'm making my own documentary in my head. You know what I'm saying? And I get to maybe 5 blocks up. Now I'm fucking standing right in front of the hospital where I was at. And I've never been in front of this hospital. In real life, I've been in it, but I've never been there. Like, I've never been to the outside of it. You know what I'm saying? Now I'm standing here staring at the sign at the outside of the motherfucking place. Like, damn, this is the motherfucking place where I was at. You know what I'm saying? And now it all just floods on you. You know what I'm saying? It just comes dumping down on you. I'm in the middle of the night walking down Peachtree with all these fucking thoughts and shit. And it was like, you know, could I have done shit differently? You know what I'm saying? Like, what if? You know what I'm saying? All this shit you can't control. And then I took it back and started thinking about, okay, well, how I'm going to do this shit in the next phase. You know what I'm saying? Like, how can I do it right for myself? And, you know what I mean? Again, it wasn't about anything that I saw. It was just I was able to see, you know what I'm saying, somebody put their journey into a document. And I'm like, damn. And it was good for me because visually, I can't see shit, like, visually, like, mentally, you know what I mean? But for somebody to lay it out, I could fill in the blanks, like, damn. If I had to do it, what would be the shining points? What would be the highlights? What would be the shit that I would say? You know what I'm saying? And that shit heavy when you hadn't thought about that shit, especially in a long time. And you haven't thought about it because you've been trying to just get better. You know what I'm saying? Just be up. Just be on 2 feet. Just be back to getting it. And now that you up, it's like, now what you going to do? And now the mirror started talking. And when the mirror started talking, boy, that shit is loud. You talking about the bass flute, nigga. That mirror talk, nigga. That shit got the bass.
The 808.
That shit got the 808s for your ass. Nigga, what you going to do? Do. You know what I'm saying? Nigga, who is you? You.
Right.
You know? So, I never did get nothing to eat, man. I walked up the block, found a restaurant that was open, sat down. Nigga gave me a menu. You know what I'm saying? I got a water. I figured out what I wanted, and I was like, yo, I want to, you know what I'm saying? I want the braised beef ribs, blah, blah, blah. This nigga say the kitchen closed, man. I'm like, oh, nigga, what the fuck you give me a menu for, nigga? Shit.
That's crazy. Were you sitting there with the menu long, or did he give you a menu?
Maybe that's 5 weird. Minutes, enough to get a water, him to go do some other shit, come back to take my order. Like, what the fuck order did you think you was going to take? Oh, I thought you were going to get a drink. Nigga, I don't need a menu to get a drink.
I know my drink. Yeah, damn.
So I drank my little water and shit. Called me an Uber. That shit took about 15 minutes. And then, you know, it was just, I guess it was just meant for me to be out there thinking. You know what I'm saying? And ever since then, I just been in the mirror. You know what I'm saying? I just been trying to figure out how to make life better from here to the end. You know what I'm saying? How to fulfill the shit that you came to do, your purpose, the projects you want to do, all that shit. How you get that shit done in the whatever time you got left until you got that, till you got to go. And, you know, that shit was heavy. It's still heavy. It's been on me since Friday. And I'm going to figure that shit out. But I think the whole point was, nigga, you got to start figuring that shit out. You know what I'm saying? You can't. Yeah. The fucking pity party is over. You can't give a fuck no more about that shit. That's done, nigga. You here now. Nigga, what you gonna do? Do. That shit is echoing through my shit, nigga.
Right.
And you try to ignore it or at least deal with the little bits, but then you had to move on to something else. But in the end, man, it's on me. And I got to do something about it in order to move to the next place.
So what you going to do? Do. What you going to do? What you think?
Nigga, that's a $1 million question. But what I am going to do is address it and stand on the shit. I'm going to, you know what I'm saying, put down, you know, my new outlook and vision without the pictures, you know what I'm saying? And try to accumulate the thoughts of what it is that I want that to be. Because going into it, you thought it was one thing. Now, your relationship to all the things is totally different, and you got to make it a new thing. And that's an unanswered question of what that is at this moment, but I can't let it be unanswered for a long time. I got to answer that shit, or I got to make a decision, because even if it ain't the shit and that's in the end, I got to make a decision of what it is for now.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I totally hear what you're saying, right? I hear what you're saying. And something to consider, because I think about this shit sometimes too, is even just framing it like I got to answer the question. I don't know if you got to answer the question, especially if you haven't really all the way figured out what the question is, right? Mm-hmm. So maybe it's just the process of doing something, putting some shit out. Back to Andre with the flute, you know what I mean? You might be sitting there looking at your rhyme book and you're like, well, I don't want to rap about colonoscopies. Fuck, let me go over here and I'm pick up this flute and I'm going to figure this shit out. And it's going to be weird for a while. It's going to be real airy and wistful and all over the place. But the shit is taking my mind off of these echoes coming from the medicine cabinet. You know what I'm saying? Like, because that's what the shit is sometimes. And like, I think I could speak for myself. I think that as much as I could, I guess, be quasi-introspective or whatever, sometimes I don't know where I stand. Like, I don't know how my focus is when I look inward, how good it is. You know, because you are you. So you got how you perceive yourself. How you see yourself, and then when you know, whatever you want to see, like, it's distorted a little bit, you know? Sometimes, like you was talking about with Kenny and all of the different footage and from different cameras and everything like that, and, you know, all of that shit has been kind of collected and put together, and there's a through line. I think, because I've been thinking about this with my show, I think sometimes you don't even know what the theme is or what the thread is. And it might take you a while to look at it and then figure it out. But sometimes you just got to have all of that shit at hand, you know, mm-hmm. just do it. As far as the, you know, like documentary and like capturing the life and all of that, for me, I got the vulnerable part about it is I could count on maybe one hand how many times I'm like, yo, hold this camera and just put it, like, point it at me and let me do what the fuck I'm going to do. You mm-hmm. know what I'm saying? More often than not, it's me pointing the camera at myself with a tripod or whatever, but it's still an internal dialogue. Mm-hmm. It's not a different perspective. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like, sometimes I was having a conversation, I talk about it a little bit, like, I was talking to friends of mine, and, you know, you had these conversations like, yo, what's going on, man? Chilling, just maintaining, you know, same old, right? Mm-hmm. And I think same old is cool on a, you know, it's like the surface thing. It's better, you know, no news is better than, you know, bad news or whatever. But also, sometimes you're so deep into it that you can't even see what's dope about what you got. You know what I'm saying? And not that you don't appreciate it or you're not grateful for it, but it's just your life and you see it differently. But when other people look at it, they're like, oh shit, nigga, you got that, or wow, oh, that's crazy. Da 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 da. Sometimes it takes other people to kind of jog your, you know, to focus it. Oh shit, I didn't even think about that. I ain't look at it like that. Oh, okay. Blah blah blah. Long story short, I just think that, and I'm speaking for myself too, but I just think that just do whatever you can, collect it, and then at some point, do an edit, and do an edit with somebody outside yourself. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Say, yo, what you see here? You know, because I'm having trouble seeing, and that's vulnerable as fuck, because having somebody look at you, but truth of the matter is, you gotta be some type of special if you even feel the desire to document your life. You know what mm-hmm. I'm saying? Like, there's something, you know, something, there's something there. There's something there. And it don't have to be a magnum opus. You know what I'm saying? Shit. The fact that Kenny Burns did 2 documentaries on himself shows that he still had some more shit to say. And he, you know what I mean? Like, he, you know, he ain't even in his 60s or nothing like this. Motherfucker's still in the world. He's still got 2 documentaries. So there's always some shit to say. Figure it out. You know, like, it just, I guess you figure it out by doing and being vulnerable and having people, you know, getting some help with the shit. You know what I'm saying? Yo, do me a favor, because shit, you already got the people. You know who the people are. Point that camera at me. You know what I mean? While I'm doing this, whatever, whatever, and, you know.
Right. And see, the thing is what's different is that I'm not trying to point the camera at myself. You know what I'm saying? I'm really trying to train the camera inside of myself to see myself, because I used to be able to see the visual pictures in my mind of where I was going, what I wanted, how I wanted to come together. It was easy. You know what I'm saying? I could just come in and then whoop, whoop, you know what I'm saying? And mind my way into something else, you know what I mean? And when you can't utilize the old tricks that you used to have, you have to rely on different parts of your being to make your things real. And when you don't have them, you kind of like, oh shit, it's scary. It's like, you know what I'm saying? It's like losing your eyes and still got to go through shit. You know what I'm saying? And while it don't seem as severe as that, that's how it feels, because those were my eyes. You know what I'm saying? That was my way of being, my way of mm-hmm. of relating, my way of, you know what I'm saying? Everything you see was because of how I saw inside. Now, mm-hmm. again, I don't have to know all the answers, but what I do know, and which the documentary helped me see, is that, oh, I got to come up with some answers. You know what I'm saying? It's no longer time to just be like, oh, shit, this shit don't work. Okay, I'm just going to figure it out. That's done. You know what I'm saying? And it's not a woe is me. That shit is a let's go. You know what I'm saying? Let's go. I don't know how you're going to do it, but let's go. You know what I'm saying? I'm expressing it as I don't know where to go or how to go, but I'm going to go. You know what I'm saying? And that's where we at. And I do appreciate the way, you know what I'm saying, Kenny tells his story, because it's not a complete story of this is the documentary of Clarence Avant from the beginning to the end. It's snippets of life. And it's almost in a way of, in these snippets of life, I'm about to explain to you who I am and why y'all should be fucking with me on the money side. On the regular side, this is who I am. This is how I did it all. You can too. You know what I'm saying? And what I'm saying is not even a parallel to what he's doing or anything. That I just say, I'm saying that I was inspired by it to the point where it really brought it down heavy on me to start clearing your motherfucking mind and start refocusing from what has happened to what you about to do. Do.
I can dig it. I hear that shit.
And that was that. You know what I'm saying? Shout out to Kenny Burns and what matters most. Shout out to I ran into Biddy Barnes down there, who's nightlife in Posario out here, part of one of the modern nightlife pioneers, you know what I'm saying, with AG and Kenny and all them niggas started around about the same time together and apart and all those things, but still have an impact on what people do in this city.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Young Biddy. Yeah. Shout out to that man. That's what's up. So what else happened? What else you get into? Anything else?
That's enough. What else happened? It was Friday. Shit.
Yeah, it's Friday.
Friday, Saturday. I mean, I was just chilling for the most part. I think I slept in on Sunday for sure. And then Saturday, what did I do? I don't think I did much. I worked. I was editing. I was putting some shit together. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Mm. So that was cool. But yeah, man, that was the highlight of between last week and this week. The highlight was a self reflection and a staunch look at moving forward. Let's go. That's where I want to start, but I don't want to end there. So hopefully, as we go along, I will have updates and reports of my goingness.
All right. That's what it is. That's dope. Shout out to my homie Relly. Funny cat. He's a writer, comedy writer, pivoted to comedy writer. He's always been a funny dude. I think I've first was aware of him from his Twitter. He's just a funny dude on Twitter. Real opinionated when it comes to music takes back in the day. But he been, you know, trying to really crack into the industry on some comedy writing shit. So he's been writing a bunch of shit.
Mm-hmm.
And funny shit. Got real, like, really funny writer. Got a real good sensibility that I appreciate. I think it's funny. Even the way that in his... when you read his scripts, like his stage direction or his character breakdowns, there's jokes in that, mm-hmm. which I'd never seen before. You know, maybe other people do it, but I never seen before. Like, just real, real funny shit. But anyway, one of the things they've been doing, you know, to kind of track his journey or his pivot or whatever, is he is doing like almost like an in real time documentary, right? Mm-hmm. On his Instagram stories, he bought this, and it looks crazy. Being honest with you, and when I see the actual contraption, I'm like, damn, this shit look wild. And I'm surprised people are responding like just regular chill. Mm-hmm. But it's basically, it's almost like a miner's hat, kind of. Not even a miner's hat, but you know how like you see the miners and they got the big light at the front of the miner's hat. So I guess it's some type of contraption. I call it a contraption. Some type of shit you put on your head. But where the miner's light would be, you basically put your iPhone, you know, and you turn that camera on and you just living life. So it's like first person. You walking through and he take you through his life. He take you through his life, take you to his day job. You see that shit. You see him. He like he's a he take runs and shit like that. Just see him. You see him sitting at his keyboard or his computer trying to break down story, talking about shit. Like, but it's just. It's an in real time documentary. You know what I mean? I don't know if he's keeping all of the footage. I mean, I'm sure it's probably somewhere, but in the moment, you're just following it in the moment, you know? And there's moments where, like, it's almost, it becomes damn near episodic, you know? Like, and I don't look at it all the time, but when I do see it, there's some compelling shit. There was one where he's at his day job, he sits down with his, I guess, his supervisor. And he basically puts in notice. He says, look, it's been a long time. You know, I'm grateful for this position. I'm grateful for this job, you know, helping me do my thing. But I gotta take a leap. So, I'm about to put in my notice. So I'm about to leave. You know what I mean? Lady's like, really? Wow, you know, okay. I'm proud of you. When you thinking? He was like, nah, no time soon. I'm just rehearsing. I'm just rehearsing, but it's coming. And I was just like, but if the shit had all of the stakes, to be like, oh, shit, nigga, I'm proud of this. Oh, shit, okay. I'm ready to send a little, all right, you know what I mean? On with it, up with, you know, that type of shit. And it was just like, nah, nigga, I'm just rehearsing. You know what I'm saying? But it's like, it's a lot of that type of shit. And it's pretty... It's different. I don't really see too many people doing that type of thing. Mm-hmm. So I just wanted to shout them out as far as, you know, just documenting the life and shit. I thought that was pretty cool. Shout out. I think he's on Instagram as Relly Wrote It.
Relly what?
Yeah, funny. Relly Wrote It.
Wrote it like a rat?
Wrote it. Like WROTE. Like wrote.
Oh, okay.
Right. Yeah. I want to say it's Relly Wrote It. But, so yeah, man. But yeah, dude. Shit, man. This
I heard shit. Nigga. I heard you was in the motherfucking St. Louis, nigga.
I was out in the loo. I was in the world, brother. I was in the world, man. Even before that, I don't know if it was a moral victory. I had a little Thursday before I even flew out. I see. Trump got hit with 34 counts, felony counts. That shit just felt good to see. I don't think it's mean shit, to be totally honest with you. And we may get our political correspondent Cam Tremble in here to really break down shit. But that shit was just kind of interesting. First felon president.
Still a front president first.
Well, first you know, he's ex-president. First felon, former president. All of the alliteration, you know, former felon, former whatever president. So there's that. That shit was kind of interesting to see, but beyond all of that, because sadly, I mean, I don't think that is really going to impact much. But which is sad to say. We could get into that in a second. But yeah, I went out to this weekend. It was a cool weekend. It was like a celebration of pivotal birthdays. So went out to St. Louis to at one point it was a semi-surprise party, but it wasn't really no surprise. But it was a celebration of Carla Radford. My old boss, the executive director of events and artist relations at Vibe Magazine and OG. So she turned 60. She's from St. Louis, you know, and her daughter, Kai, put it all together, which is crazy. Shout out to Nigel and Kai, her children, I remember when they were adults. I mean, when they was both like kids. You know what I'm saying?
When
hopping out the minivan.
When I first got on the scene to even try to get hooked up about this shit, I'm in New York, you know what I'm saying? They told me where they was having the party, go meet the nigga. When I first get to the party, the first person I encounter is Carla because she running the door, and she was pregnant with Kai.
Wild. Yep. Yeah. So. They are grown now. It's funny because it just puts everything in perspective. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? You officially become the old head. That's like, I remember when you was, you know, all of this type mm-hmm. of shit. But we go out to St. Louis, Midwest. I was just there for the one day. Mm-hmm. Went to the dinner and the celebration. Mm-hmm. And shit was dope. It was really dope. It was really dope. Like, you know, there was some people. Freddie J was there. Tyrus was there. Bev was there. Benita was there. Kensel. Lauren Wurzer. You know, some of the squadron, the fam. Mm-hmm. Then a bunch of, you know, her sisters were there. Bunch of her, I guess like her line sisters was there, you know, family, friends, you know, people that she has some connection to in some capacity throughout her life. Not even just mm-hmm. her career, but throughout her life. So there's a lot of motherfuckers in the building. It was just a cool vibe. She was, you know Carla. You know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? Carla is very effusive when it comes to like feelings and you know what I'm saying, like
all of the feels,
absolutely, like intentional about it, like, you know what I mean. And it was cool to be there. She gave a really dope speech. What was interesting though, it just reminded me, similar to what we were talking about just earlier, but like, you know, I talk to her every so often on the phone. And you know, you get off the phone with, you know, sometimes you talk to certain people, you remember like what they mean to you, what they, you know, what their energy is. You know what mm-hmm. I'm saying? Like how specific it is, what they, you know. And like when I was seeing her do the speech was funny. It was poignant. It wasn't rambling. It was like, it was dope. And it was off the head. It was from the heart. And it was fire. And it was just like, that's her distilled, you know? Mm-hmm. And just kind of being in that energy and also being around those other people, you know, you remember, you know, what they bring out of you or what they bring to the table or whatever. And it's mm-hmm. just like, you also see a bunch of people show up for somebody, right. You know? And it's just like, it's a celebration of life where everybody is in that bitch alive. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's the beauty of, you know, because, you know what I mean? Sometimes it could be the opposite way. So it was a beautiful thing. It was cool to be in St. Louis and hear Sexy Red playing. You know what I'm saying? Because she got it right now. She got it down there. You know, I mean, Nelly is still Nelly. You know, like, they play Country Grammar and there's a bunch of people from St. Louis. So, you know, the line, I'm from the Lou and I'm proud. Like, that shit, niggas got hype. You know, I seen that. I seen, I got to see They Not Like Us in a party setting.
Oh, word.
That shit is, hell yeah, that shit is rocking. That is the record. So, it was cool. I wish I could have stayed. I had to jet back because the next day they went to the Arch. They did the Chinese food. St. Louis is known mm-hmm. for their Chinese food, which is so wild. And they did more stuff, but it was great. It was great, man.
It was a good vibe. What I missed and shit, and it was like, Damien was there. I'm like, God damn it, Damien.
Yeah, man. Yeah, I didn't know. I thought you might have showed up. We talked about it.
This
it
was... motherfucker having an existential crisis, nigga.
Yeah. Oh man.
It was too much going on around this piece to make it happen. You know what I'm saying? There's a lot mm-hmm. going on, so I didn't have the plan together to, you know what I'm saying, already had that shit locked down by the time that shit was on me.
Right. Then, I hear you. Then, like, so I flew back, and I went. My other one of my homie Sparky Griswold. Shout out to my man Sparky Griswold. He turned 45, so he had like a celebration as well up at the Griswold Manor. You know what I'm saying? Upstate, and I got to see, you know, Spark, Ronnie C, see my man Hive, my man Esteban Ebonics, Theme One. He listens to the podcast, as a matter of fact. He actually referenced you talking about when you said basically you know, being mindful, and I'm kind of paraphrasing. I think it was last week. We were just talking, maybe the week before, we were saying like just being ready to take on the summer, like be ahead of it a little bit. You know what I mean? Like putting some shit on the grill, all of that shit. He was like, yeah, that shit resonated with him. So salute to that, man.
That's what's up.
Ronnie,
I need that shit to resonate
Lily.
With me.
Nah, the people. That's what I'm saying. Sometimes you gotta, you know, hear the feedback, and it can't be just from you. Can't be the echo. It's gotta be actual feedback.
Right.
But kicked it with them for a bit. I was a little tired because I literally just flown right in, but got to see them, to see the people. Kicked it. Shout out my man Reyes. Shout out to Dre, John, you know, squad. Like, you know what I mean? It was good. Good food up there. Yo, they got these, hers makes these Old Bay cheese curls. Shit's fire. I don't know if they sell them in New York.
Shit's chips?
Fire. Like cheese doodles. Cheese doodles. But like with Old Bay seasoning on them, shit's fire. Had that. His wife Lily, like they rented out an ice cream truck pulled up. You know, everybody got kids, so the kids was excited and shit. Like the kids went. I mean, I ain't gonna lie, I would have got me an ice cream cone and shit. Shit was fly, man. It was just a good vibe. People showing up. You know what I mean? For Ron and everything like that. Just again, just being around energy of people and like what these people mean to you, and like just kind of just being in it, you know?
Right.
So
did
that shit. And then shit. Sunday sat down, you know, and we did the marathon of them, which we'll talk about. Watch them. we'll get into that in a second. But yeah. It was a good time. I can't be mad. But salute.
Love to hear that.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sad I missed St. Louis, but you know what I'm saying? Shit. I catch something.
Yeah. We shout out Miss St. Louis? That caller?
I said, I'm sorry, I missed St. Louis.
Oh, I thought you said, shout out, Miss St. Louis.
St. Louis.
Yeah, man. Yeah. You would have had a good time. You'd have had a good time. It would have been a vibe. No pun intended. Yeah, man. But, shit.
Yeah, so this them.
Let's talk about it, man.
And I'm going to be honest with you, my nigga.
I mean, that's the only, come on.
I watched it. You know what I'm saying? I watched that shit, but I probably needed more time so I could actually digest some of that shit, because I missed a few plot points along the way. You know what I'm saying? Like, I got a little lost, you know what I'm saying, in what they were trying to do. Not saying that it wasn't there. I'm saying that I got a little turned around in the process of it. I just wanted to put that out there before we started. So here we go.
Let's go. I mean, look, man, I don't think you're alone with that. I don't think that at all. I'll say, okay. All right, let's talk about it. So look, man, I seen season one and season two.
Mm-hmm.
And at first, I said last week, it's an anthology. Well, I felt like it was an anthology series.
And it is,
so you're
per
really,
se.
Per se. So I was like, the shit, you don't need to see season one to really get into season two. But there was a link towards the end, right? One thing that I didn't even realize which is crazy. I guess it's a testament to my memory being terrible. But the lead character, Deborah, I don't know what's her last name. I got to find it. But, like, she's the lead character in season one. And I totally forgot. You know what I mean? And she, you know, like, I was like, yo, I feel like I've seen her before. Of course, nigga, she was the lead character in season one. But I, like, whatever. So, anyway, it started off pretty good. You know, I've talked about how much I like the cinematography. Mm-hmm. The backdrop was, you know, the like early 90s LA, just after the Rodney King beating. There's a reckoning in the city. There's a, you know, there's palpable tension between the cops and the citizens of LA. Our lead character, she is a detective that works in homicide, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Armed robbery and homicide.
Armed robbery and homicide. Rampart, is it, some shit like that. So, really? Like, she works in...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I think they said that. But, yeah, armed robbery and homicide. She works in that. She lives at home. Or she lives with her mother and her son. Mother played by Pam Grier. Son is, like, maybe 15, something like that. Plays the drums, you know, is in the band, all of that type of thing. Kind of a little... as we find out a little later, a little reluctant to share the fact that his mom's is a cop. You know what I mean? Maybe even ashamed due to the, you know, due to what's going on. I can understand that. But in the midst of all of this, so she's out there, you know, looking into these crimes of this, seems like it could be some type of serial killer. There's these killings going on. The first killing we see is this old lady. I forget her name. Mrs. Cobb, Mrs. Something, Cole, something. I don't have it written down. But anyway, the lady, these people are killed in a way where they're like absolutely disfigured, like just like broken up, like in a just odd fashion. But it's like, who could do this? You know what I mean? The way these people are broken, it don't look like a human could do this. So what is going on? And every time you kind of get around these people, there are people around them that are, like, really, like, scared to death. Mm-hmm. Like, yo, you don't know what's going on. I see this person. You know, like, obviously, there's a lot of trauma around it. Season one, like I said before, season one was horror cut heavy with black trauma. It got me tight. Season one got me tight. Like, I was pissed. Season two, it seemed like it was going to be much of that, but that shit started to creep in. But so she's the lead detective, and she's looking into all of these different things, and she's bumping up into, you know, a little bit of, I guess, pushback at the job. She's the only, well, maybe it's only like two people of color at the job. It's her and this Latino dude. She's a black woman. Mostly white guys. She got a white partner who is, like, apt to, like, kind of jump to conclusions based on stereotypes and things of that nature. And we find out a little later on, low key, he is on some extremist type shit. Probably racist. Looks like racist, but definitely some extremist type shit, like where they like to, you know, shoot guns and drink and beat each other, and you know what I mean, you know, just wild out type shit. I'm kind of jumping. Oh, at the other side of it, we're following Luke James's character. You may know Luke James from The Shy or from being a singer way back in the day. But you know what's so funny? I know Luke James is a singer, but I couldn't tell you one Luke James song. Are you familiar with Luke James?
No, but I can't tell you what acting job he had. So I know his name. Man. His name is more famous than him.
Oh, shit. Damn, nigga. Anyway, yeah.
But I remember he could sing good, though. I remember hearing his shit, but I remember that like shit was good.
I remember it. Yeah, I mean, yeah, the shit sounded good, but I don't know nothing about. I can't remember nothing. I'm gonna look him up, music wise. Deborah Ayarinde, I think that's how you pronounce it. I'm not sure, but so Luke James is playing a dude that's, you know, he's a wannabe actor, you know, in LA. He's working a day job as the beginning, working a day job at like somewhat of like a Chuck E. Cheese type of restaurant where he's dressed up as like a pig and he's like dancing for the kids in costume, but he's also trying to, you know, program his life. He's listened to a lot of self-help books or motivational books that are trying to get him to, you know, like improve his mindset, you know? But at the same time, he's bombing a lot of auditions. He's going out for an audition to be like some robber number one, some like some gangster cat, and he can't really pull it off. You know, so much so when he's in there reading, the guy, I think his name Donovan, the guy on the camera, he can't even control. He's trying not to laugh, but he's laughing damn near in the man's face.
In the man's face.
So, you know, Luke feel away about that. And Luke got, you could tell from episode one, Luke got a touch of crazy to him. He's a little off. You know what I mean? We don't know exactly why. He's just a cat living by himself in pursuit of his dream, you know, and just trying to stay on track. You know what I mean? Trying to figure out, trying to will himself to some type of
Success, victory,
wellness. You know what I mean? Like just something. So Edmund is his character's name. Yeah. So boom. So Luke's leaving, and on his after bombing this audition, he, you know, one of the receptionists, she's like, "Hey, hang in there." You know, she's a voice of hope, black woman at the desk.
Yeah,
I mean, look. At least in the early on.
And I thought, well, you know, before you continue, I thought she was going to end up being the bank teller to Lawrence in Insecure.
Man.
Or goddamn, you know what I'm saying? One of them characters, helpful in that manner.
I could dig it. I said the exact same thing. She reminded me of the bank teller from season one or season two?
One or two.
You know. Yeah,
or more like Lakeisha and BMF to T. You know what I'm saying, at the insurance agency. You know,
yeah,
a muse,
affirmations. Yeah, a comfort woman.
Get a nigga off the couch, ass motherfucker.
Yeah. I see the greatness in you, King. Right. A lot of that.
Rising.
Yeah, absolutely. Chin up. You know, all of that.
Right.
And I think she tried to do that. I think that was...
She probably was on the way of doing that, but he...
Mm-hmm.
This nigga was feral. He don't know how to handle it.
Yeah. He's a weird dude. So, why don't you go from there? You take it away.
Okay, so he's in pursuit of his acting. Of course, that audition went bad. You know what I'm saying? And, again, bank teller... Lakeisha, whatever her name is in this series, it's kind of like, you know, she sees him at the Chuck E. Cheese with her son. You know what I'm saying? He out here trying to improvise his role, and the boss is like, nigga, just play your part. We don't need you to improvise the character. Come up with a new script for him. Just go out there and be the happy little piggy Cheddar. And so... He sees her with her son, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, he's good. You know, he's good with the kid. Come on, let's go play. And we play with him. And then she gave him the pep talk of, nah, you could do it. You know what I'm saying? You could be it. You know what I mean? You just got to keep going. And if I see something come through that I think you good for, I'm going to put in the word. And he feeling good about himself. You know what I'm saying? And then she actually gets to a point where she tells him, you know, there is a script that you might be good for. It's like a, you know what I'm saying, serial killer slasher movie vibe. You know what I'm saying? It'll be a trip if you did it because, you know what I'm saying, you're so nice and presentable in real life. But, you know what I'm saying, that would actually be a good thing for you to break out of your normal self and do something different. So, you know. He of course takes that to heart because the man is really suffering from no love in life. You know what I'm saying? Well, we end up finding out, you know what I'm saying? He's twins with the main character in real life, but she was split off and adopted, and he was adopted, but then they had to give his ass back. And, you know what I'm saying? Then he got a, I guess the white family adopted him and had to give his ass back again. Like, the nigga just never found a true forever home. You know what I'm saying? So now he's just forever lonely, and which is probably the main reason why the scare, the supernatural evil spirit was able to fuck with him, you know what I'm saying, and get into him. And so, you know, him and Bank Teller, they go out, you know what I'm saying, he invite her over for a little diggy date, you know what I'm saying? Shit looked like it was up for him, you know what I mean? I thought he was about to be Lawrence and shit, about to be have a Lawrence Hive, an Edmund Hive, and all that. But she get there and shit, and, you know, after she tell him about, you know, her little work hangouts, and then she's like, yeah, who all goes? And it's like, yeah, me, Cindy, you know what I'm saying, Elizabeth, and what's the old boy name? You know what I'm saying?
Donovan, I believe.
And yeah, and old Donovan. You know, she said that shit last because, you know what I'm saying, she tried to swallow that one. But he heard Donovan, and, you know what I'm saying, shit went wrong because he already was spying on her and saw that, you know what I'm saying, she give a Donovan a hug at the work. He looking like a work husband and shit. Mm-hmm. So he was a little tight about that. He was like, excuse me, I need to go to the restroom. So he go to the restroom. And he slips into character and shit. I don't know when the fuck he had time to do all that, but he did. He slipped into character of the serial killer that she suggested that he do. And he plays this role on her very good, to the point where she was significantly scared. You know what I'm saying? Put the knife up to her. We had the ski mask on with the makeup shit on his face. And he played an impressive serial killing slasher movie role. So, you know, she's obviously shook. She's like, first, you know, after he let up a little bit and was like, hey, how did you like it? And she was like, oh, it was good. And like, I got to go. You know what I'm saying? But he was so hyped that the shit worked out so well that he forgot he was on a date. He just let her go. But it all went bad when, you know, he went to go try out for the role. He came in costume. He was ready. He had the whole fucking lobby shook. You know what I'm saying? Niggas
that nigga was good.
Yeah.
He was good. I ain't gonna lie.
Nigga looked like a killer. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, absolutely. Crazy killer.
He's deranged. Yeah. He's deranged like motherfucker. Yeah.
And they like, Edmund, he stood up. Everybody like, oh, shit. And they was like, nigga, you have to go. He like, what? You know what I'm saying? You got to go. And he don't understand. He done choked the man, threw him on the door, kicked his way into the room. The room was like, nigga, we about to call the police. You know what I'm saying? He looked around, and he see the Bank Teller, you know what I'm saying, Muse, the lady who gave him all of the props, put wind under his wings. And she looking like, nigga, we going to call the police. Nigga, you are crazy. You know what I'm saying? This nigga done ruined it. He thought he was playing. That shit was like, oh, hell nah, nigga. So they threw him out, and he threw him out on his head. Nigga, his dreams are dashed. He just full-on submitted to the evil spirit, nigga. Shit. And then, Miss Officer. That's just one storyline. Then we had the officer mother, whose ex-husband is Iman Shumpert, you know what I'm saying, who played a cool character. I like his character. He looked like somebody daddy that's in the band.
You know? He do look like that, be on tour more than he be tour at the house. You know what I'm saying? He definitely had on tour vibes. Like, listen, little man, I'm just passing through. Don't even tell your moms I was here.
Right.
Yeah.
So, you know what I'm saying, you got the mom, you got her, you got her son, he playing the drums, and you could see that the motherfucking spirit is trying to get him. You know what I'm saying? Every time he playing the drums, the light get the shaking and shit, you know. But at this point, he good. You know what I'm saying? The mama is doing her job, trying to figure out the fucking shit. She finding the bodies all twisted and turned. And then, you know, one day she rolled up on a crime scene and she sees somebody looking suspicious. She want to question him. He gets to running. You know what I'm saying? L.A. style, gang-banging khakis, gun in his back. She chasing him through
the book. You look like a Grand Theft Auto character.
Yeah.
That's how he look. You know, that's like how,
very
that's
stereotypical LA gangbanging look.
Mm-hmm. Central casting.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Yep. But he was out. But mm-hmm. to the goodness of the casting, he did look regular. You know what I'm saying? He ain't look like a manufactured, you know what I'm saying, stereotypical character.
Yeah,
he looked nappy headed, and you know, he looked like a nigga from around the way, man. Just a nigga. So she chasing him through the projects. She chasing him all through there. You know what I'm saying? Now it gets to Grand Theft Auto at this point. They got real black trauma ish with it. You know what I'm saying? Hollywood style. What you doing here, pig? You know what I'm saying? Where everybody throwing mm-hmm. bottles at her. She chasing this nigga through the projects, running through people's houses. You know what I'm saying? It's a mess. You know what I'm saying? She catch up with him. He get his baby. You know what I mean? She's like, you know, then her partners come in with the backup, start whooping the ass, and she's like, stop it. He's just trying to get to his kid. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But, you know, this nigga in there shook. He got the covers in front of the mirrors. This nigga shook. You know what I mean? And we don't know about the evil spirit yet, but it's on him, nigga. It's on him. He, you know what I mean? Then they let him go. Then, shit, next scene, evil spirit came and crunched his motherfucking ass up. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, origami ass.
Yeah, that's how I be, too. This shit don't just be a killing. That shit got the crunching sound to it. It's the sound effects. They don't even show it.
Snap, crackle, pop. Yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, God damn.
They always throwing up gang signs at the end. That shit is always contorted to some old wild thing. It looks right. Crazy.
And then they put the nigga in his trap. Like, you know what I'm saying? They came in there looking for the dope. They couldn't find it. But then, you know what I'm saying? When they left, he pulled it. He moved the floor back. And then all his dope and his little money was up under the floor. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, they killed him origami style and put him in there with his dope. And shit. You know what I'm saying? So now she back on the case. Now, this is where it get kind of tricky for me. You know what I'm saying? Because I didn't really, you know what I'm saying, the little flashback when he found the sister. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So the whole time we know him, he trying to find his sister. We don't know that's what he trying to do, but he on the phone. They give him a runaround and shit. He playing with the plastic bag on his head and shit. What the fuck is going on? So they ended up finding her, and he goes to her house. You know what I'm saying? Her and Iman still together. She got the perm, like, you know, got the little perm now, not the braids. But I was confused because I didn't know it was a time lapse. I didn't know, like, if he went back in time to do that after his first killing, you know what I'm saying? Where the fuck was he at? You know what I'm saying? So obviously, he was killing 2 years before the time that we knew, and then they went back 2 years, but I just didn't get it all the way. I didn't get how all that lined up, you know what I'm saying, and when was what. After I saw that, I was, like, confused as to what was now, what was the past, what was the future, you know what I'm saying? So that's where I kind of got kind of twisted, but
yeah. I was a little off too. I didn't realize that. Unless she pointed out, it was, I think his entire storyline was 2 years prior. And then the officer, her storyline was in present day. So that's the thing. And I guess, because I definitely like the soundtrack. You know what I mean? Because and I think maybe that was a way to kind of time stamp it too. Like, so much of his storyline had music from like the late 80s, you know, and maybe even beforehand. Like, he had like jams playing, you know, even when he was dancing for the kids or whatever. Like, I don't think there was any real music playing in anybody else's storyline. So maybe that was a subtle way of dating it, but I didn't realize. I had no idea. I had no idea. But then I was like, and then later on you find out when it's all said and done, oh shit, wow, this happened years ago. Now I will say this, and I might be running ahead. I'm gonna let you get back to it. I'm running ahead, but like
I'm just all over the place with it. So
I'm same thing. But one thing that bugged me out was when she finally found out that, you know, stuff started coming around. Like, okay, she found out she was adopted. Mm-hmm. But then when she found out she had a twin brother, you know, I don't know if she saw a photo of him. Well, maybe she didn't see a photo, but when she heard the name, she didn't remember him coming to the house with a happy belated birthday cake.
I don't think she got
and she
his.
Damn near had to.
I don't think she had his name, like, cause when she did see his face, she was like, "He came to my house." You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I think
that was like in the last episode. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I thought they gave the name, cause that's when I was like,
husband, to the husband, but she was so intent on questioning the nigga and getting him up out of there, you know, cause she was on her police vibe, like, "Nigga, what is you doing here?"
Like, I'm answering the questions. Let me ask him the questions. She took his ID.
Right. You put your hands on the wall. She did the whole police shit on him.
In the house, in the foyer. This is a citizen's arrest.
Right.
He getting arrested. But I feel like if somebody gave you a cake that said, "Yo," it was a weird ass moment. If somebody came to your house 2 years ago with a cake that was like, "Yo, happy belated birthday." It's like, "Yo, I'm so happy for you," mm-hmm. and all this shit. It's somebody you don't know and you damn near had to arrest them. I would imagine you would still remember that 2 years later.
Yeah, she remembered it. I guess she remembered it when she saw when she saw his face. I mean, that's the only time I saw that she acknowledged that she was like, "Gotcha. He came to my house 2 years ago." You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And see, at the point, at that time, she didn't know she was adopted. She didn't know none of this shit. None of that shit was clicking for her. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And it seemed like the little evil spirit was circling around their family because of a lot of different fears. You know, the boy's fear of being alone and abandoned. Then the grandma's fear of hiding the secret and giving the boy back to the motherfucking system and keeping the secret from the daughter of her being adopted. You know what I'm saying? Because when she walked in the bathroom and saw her in the tub, and she was like, "Do you think you were a good mother?" And then she was like, "No, you're a great mother. I'm talking about you. I'm not talking about me. I'm talking about you." And then, you know, she was like, "What's in the box? What's in the box?" The daughter didn't know about the box. You know what I'm saying? When the grandma looked back, it wasn't nobody there. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So the grandma definitely was feeling the pressure of the lie that she had been keeping up for all those years. Right. You know what I'm saying? Like, even when the Raggedy Andy dolls was all in the store, she threw them bitches out. She
was crazy.
She was not trying to deal with this spirit shit, nigga. She was like, "Listen," trying to hold it tight.
"These got to go."
Right.
And she was like, "Well," she said, "these dolls are racist," or some shit like that. "I want some black dolls." This is my thing. I'm not a big Raggedy Ann and Andy doll person, but I know that they are iconic. I say this about Raggedy Ann and Andy: I don't see a white doll or a black doll. They just like some clown figures. Like, I don't see, I don't want to be that person that's like, "I don't see color," but I see Barbie is like a white doll, or G.I. Joe is like white sometimes, and there's some black G.I. Joes.
Right.
But like, Raggedy Ann look like, that's like a creature or something. Not a creature, but it's just, you know, it's ambiguous
like
to
Barney.
Me.
Like, do you Barney and shit.
Like Barney, but not purple. Like,
I
do you
saw a
see,
white motherfucker, man. I just know.
When you were a kid?
Yeah, well, I just know growing up in my era, I ain't play with that type of shit, but growing up in my era, everything was white. The media sold us everything white. You know what I'm saying? You might have some black dogs here and there, but they ain't have no name. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no. They were the black version of the white dog.
Right, it'd just be like a black dog. You know what I'm saying?
Right. You had to get it from somebody too.
Right. We had to watch motherfucking Molly Ringwald and shit, Brooke Shields, and these was the people they were saying was the people. You was like, okay,
yeah.
I was so happy when hip hop came.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Because then we had our own black characters, black superheroes and shit. You know, but as far as dolls, like Raggedy Ann, they was white to me, but everything was white. We was just being sold whiteness and shit.
Yeah, I get it. I agree with you. It was definitely white until like super white until maybe 89. Right. We started to get a little bit. But I say But with them, though, I just seen it as, I don't know, I just seen it as like some yarn ass dog. Like, I didn't even see them having an ethnicity. I just thought they was like small. And I thought, you know, I thought maybe, I don't know, raggedy hand and raggedy. Maybe I just didn't even identify their personhood because they were presented as fucked up in the game. They's raggedy. When you just raggedy. Who want to own a raggedy ass? I'm just saying, that's how they was identifying. I was like, raggedy ass hand and raggedy. Like, I remember, first, if you call anybody raggedy to this day, that shit is, that is, you tan them down. Motherfucker, old raggedy ass, anything. So,
like, I never,
raggedy is
I
aggressively
never thought
fucked.
About that.
No, I always looked at them as they was hobos. Doing bad. Yeah, they was hobo dolls. They was doing bad. You were saying that dog. That was the first, that was like a rescue doll. But, I don't know. But yeah, so Pam, I mean, not Pam, but the moms was like, these dolls are racist. And the Korean lady was like, yo, hold on now. You gotta get out of here with that shit now. Come on now. Don't throw me under the bus. I'm out trying to make some money.
Right, nigga. They only fuck with me because, yeah. They about to burn the Korean shops, motherfucker.
You know what I mean? I already got black owned in the window. You know.
Yeah, no.
Oh, shit. But I think that, to your point, I think it started to jump all around. There were certain things that I thought were interesting. Now, did you catch this? It wasn't even something to catch, but I just thought it maybe might have been an homage. When Luke James killed Donovan and buried him, that scene looked like Breaking Bad?
Oh, most definitely. It was a couple of them. It was a couple of Breaking Bad little shits when he had, when he was making the little costume at first and trying on different shit. Then he had one that had a mask, and he had some long gloves. It would look Breaking Bad-ish. That desert scene when he was about to bury old boy, it's definitely Breaking Bad, along with the desert scene from Snowfall when they killed old boy who raped the dude.
I missed that one. They did an homage to that, you think?
I don't know what the homage was. It's just they had to bury a nigga. They shot it as a typical desert burial, West Coast burial.
Got it. I don't remember that. Well, on either show. Okay.
He fucked old Donovan up.
Yeah, he broke him down. But that was the thing about it, though. I think it was a lot of misdirection because there was many points where I'm like, I was prepared for Luke James's character to be a killer. Like, he really was. I mean, he killed one guy. You know what I'm saying? Like, and then he killed himself afterwards, so he wasn't really built for it.
I think all those people was people he killed.
Oh, so you... Okay,
yeah, he was
so you
the killer.
Because he was coming back in spiritual form.
No.
As Raggedy Ann.
No, see, before, you like you said, all that shit we saw with him was 2 years prior. You see what I'm saying? And then, and as we're watching it through her eyes, present time, they finding these dead bodies. I thought that was supposed to be him, along with the spirit that was in him. But I thought that was him. But, you know, I don't know.
But as a ghost.
Oh,
like
I didn't,
as some supernatural shit.
Because he ain't died till the goddamn second to last shit.
Yeah, but you remember when the Spanish dude, Latino dude, he was like her partner. He was like, yo, she finally was like, yo, I found out I got a brother. He was like, yeah, I know. I was trying to tell you, but, you know, I didn't know if you were ready for that. And, you know, she was like, I want to find out more about him. He was like, well, this is it. This is your brother. He broke down the folder. He said, yo, your brother, he's dead now. You know what I mean? I can tell you where he's buried. But he killed one person. And then he immediately killed himself. But that's why I'm saying maybe he was killing these people, haunting them and killing them on a supernatural tip. Because when they finally show the redhead man, it looked like him. You know what I mean? With some shit going on with his face. But he had like the Raggedy Andy hair. You could tell, seemed to be him. And he was killing them. But I don't know if he was killing them in real life. He might have been possessed and possessing these people's bodies and trying to kill them. For what reason? I guess to have, I don't even understand. That's the other part. I'm like, why are you killing all these other people? I can understand you killing the woman who was abusing everybody mm-hmm. at the group home, but I don't understand why you killed the little Mexican boy. I don't understand why you killed the Asian girl. Who else did he kill? He killed, I don't know why you even killed my man that was, you know, hustling with his daughter.
Right.
You know, like, I guess you had a you just fucking like killing.
Yeah, he became a Southside killer.
Came to Southside, yeah, he came to Southside killer. But also, wait, nah, because the Southside killer had already started killing before he died. Because remember when he pulled up with the prostitute,
mm-hmm.
and she was like, oh, that's you. Mm-hmm. And the Southside killer was already popping.
Right.
So.
Right, he hadn't killed yet. But he took on that. He took on that role. I don't know, dog. Mm-hmm. That's why I say I'm confused. Because when he killed himself, you know what I'm saying, the spirit dude with the raggedy Ann hair was there. You know what I'm saying? Basically instructed him to do it. The raggedy Ann dude, you know what I'm saying, was trying to get into the boy. I did a little Google search, and it was saying that, you know, the spirit thing was attacking the fears. That was how the spirit thing was able to get in. So, you know, maybe he wasn't the one killing all of them. Or maybe he had his little batch, but the spirit was going on doing his other shit. I don't know, my nigga. I got to watch the shit again.
Yeah, I'm not. But I should. I just know I'm not. You know what I mean? Right. Look, if y'all got some insight, let us know in the comments. And I might read a couple think pieces, but I don't think I'm going to watch it again. I don't think I'm going to go through that whole thing again. It was cool. It looked good. I think I like season one a little bit more than season two, even though season one pissed me off. Mm-hmm. But I think season one as a story was a little bit more straightforward. I could follow it. This one kind of had me a little, it kind of was all over the place towards the end, towards the last few episodes. It was just kind of like, well, what's going on here? What's the deal? And then I guess at the very end, I don't even know if that was at the very end, they all back to being like a happy family, you know, it was odd. It's good to see, you know, it's good to see like so many black people working, you know, I thought that was dope.
Right.
And that's always a good thing, especially when it looks like, you know, it's well shot and things of that nature. I'd say this, the other thing that I thought was cool, you know, old Lou, Malcolm Mays, Lou from Raising Kanan,
mm-hmm.
he wrote like 8 episodes of this joint. Yeah.
Talented brother.
Yeah.
I hope it won the last four.
I think it had a few. Hey man, it is what it is. But salute to that man. You know,
niggas need to catch up, educated, get their mind right.
Yeah, put a think piece out or hit us in the comments. Let us know exactly what was going on. What did we miss? What was what was the correlation? But yeah, man. So that was them.
Right.
That was them. That was them. This is us. That was them. Shit, man. I got something. This was funny to me. Did you see this whole Anthony Edwards Cameron thing?
Yeah. Actually, the first time I ever watched that show. I only saw clips. You know what I'm saying? I never saw it.
I haven't watched the show yet either. I never saw it as a show. Okay. How'd you like it?
I mean, I think they're doing a great job. You know what I'm saying? I think as some niggas with a name and a little personality and shit, they go way back, you know what I'm saying? So the chemistry good, plus a more professional sidekick that could keep shit going while they just talk they talk. I think it's pretty awesome. You know what I'm saying? To take advantage of the space that we're in media and culture. I think they are definitely leveraging their strength as independent motherfuckers that's not dependent on the advertising check. You know what I'm saying? To clap back at a brand that, you know what I'm saying, was the social media person gonna get fired after this. To clap back at a brand that, you know what I'm saying, was up in the comments on them. You know what I'm saying? And it's like, mm-hmm. why you on our comments? You ain't on Stephen A. comments or nobody else. What the fuck? You know what I'm saying? So in the vein of hip hop and, you know what I'm saying, in the spirit of 50 Cent, that nigga Cam took it all the way. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know how they be like in a fight, you know what I'm saying? Don't get in no fight unless you ready to go all the way. You know what I mean? And the nigga who's willing to be the most violent is definitely going to win the fight. And, you know, a brand can't be violent per se as you know, philosophically violent as these rap niggas. You know what I'm saying?
Adidas on X can't be like, fuck you niggas. Right. They can't do that.
Bitch exactly. ass niggas.
You know can't do that.
You know what I'm saying? Which, this is the type of shit, this is the game they playing. They on some old bitch ass nigga, what you gonna do? Fuck nigga ass shit. Yeah. Got all my diamonds on. You know what I'm saying? I'm gonna drop a freestyle. I love it because the nigga built the platform for himself. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'm gonna drop a freestyle to address, to kick this shit off, right? Which was dope in itself. But then when I watched the show, this nigga went all the way in. Like, man, they brought in a correspondent to break down all of the injuries of superstar niggas that was wearing Adidas.
Oh, shit. Okay, nigga, see, I didn't see all of this.
Watch the show, nigga. They went, and nigga, it's about 20 people, nigga. You know what I'm saying? They RG3, motherfucking Derrick Rose, da-da-da-da, Messi. You know what I'm saying? The tennis player that fucked that shit up and had to retire at 27 or some shit. Man, that shit make you look at the brand sideways, dog. And it's a fight. That I know the brand, like, God damn, why is we even in this shit? Who started this shit? You know what I'm saying?
They ain't see that coming, yeah.
The higher-ups was nigga, how the fuck did we get here? You know what I'm saying? Because this nigga is going nuclear on us. And it's like, nigga, I ain't got no beef with Ant. You know what I'm saying? Because he just going to be just like the other niggas y'all had before. You know what I'm saying? That y'all dropped after they not popping no more. Oh, man, it's scathing. You know what I'm saying? It's not a good look. You know what I'm saying? Like, somebody is probably called them niggas up like, hey, man, what we need to do? You know what I'm saying? When you don't hear no more about this shit, you know why. Because they like, listen, bruh, we ain't come here for all this.
Right. This has become a distraction. Nigga, I didn't know. I gotta watch the episode. Man, I didn't know he went that crazy.
Oh, he went in. Man. And he wasn't yelling and all that shit like on the 50 shit. But he was just like, you know, and my order of business this week, we gonna do a documentary with the cat who played for goddamn Louisville. The nigga who broke his leg popped in the game. And it was just like in pieces. I was actually watching that game. I forget the dude's name. Nigga, top nigga from Louisville. His nigga just broke his whole shit in the game and had on Adidas.
College?
Yeah, in college. He had on Adidas and Adidas socks, everything. He like, man.
Is that the one where his like femur or whatever came out in the middle?
Yes.
He was like going for a rebound or some shit like that. Nigga. Yeah, I forget it. Yeah. Damn, yeah.
I want to say Travis Kelce, but it's in that vein. It ain't Travis Kelce.
It ain't. it ain't in that vein.
You know what I'm saying? We need a producer. Name in that vein.
That's the worst.
No, man,
it's in that vein.
I just can't think of it right now. Nigga, I would have said it.
Yeah.
But he like, yeah, my order of business this week is to do a doc on that man, and we're gonna bring in like a lot of these names that we talk about to speak on this doc. So he just baiting them into giving him the call, goddamn. Because the nigga just
pressed. Kevin Ware.
Yeah, Kevin Ware. Kevin Ware. That shit ain't no Travis Kelce.
No, not at all. Not at all.
You know what I'm talking about. It's a good American name, man.
It's straightforward.
Straightforward slave man name. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, damn. Now the nigga is slave. You know, that's, now he Kunta Kinte.
No, that's Ali. That's Ali Muhammad talking.
Right, exactly. This guy could board a flight uninterrupted.
Uninterrupted.
What
you saying? That man's good. They take his resume when he send it. I'm talking about.
Damn, man. Yeah, I got to check that out. Nah, see, that's the thing.
He go nuclear, dog. It's nuclear.
Yeah. which is always bed cam. You know, like, that's the thing. Yeah, he gonna go all out. Zero tolerance. Because I seen some people saying he ain't really need to go that crazy with it. And I didn't even know he did a whole episode on it. I just know he did the, I seen he jumped in the comments immediately. And then he, like, even teased it, like, wait till Monday. And then he put out the freestyle. Which I also like the fact that he's used this platform as a place to where periodically he'll spit a freestyle. Like that, you know, we talked about that a few times on the show. Cam is good for the, I just want to remind you niggas, I could still get busy. Here and there. In the way, like, it's real leisurely. Like, I don't really need to rap. But just so you niggas know, I'm still nice. And that's a flex in itself. Because most people, if they rap, they kind of need that shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, that, you know, you haven't had the, or if you figured out another outlet, you typically don't come back to rap that often. So just to be able to do that shit, it just, I think there's that, which has kind of always been the brand. It's like the autonomy, you know what I'm saying? To be able to kind of live independent, you know what I mean? To move independent. So, but yeah, I was like, I'd seen for a while. And I do like, because I like Anthony Edwards. I like the energy that Anthony Edwards has, and I think that Adidas probably likes it too, and maybe the people, whoever, social media or whatever, the marketing people, they like, they try to match that energy. They try to be there. And I'm not going to lie, like, I was fucking with a good amount of it. Some of the tone, like, even when he first introduced the sneakers and he's looking at other people's sneakers, ain't like, that shit ain't popping. This, my shit better than this, my shit better than that. It felt like it was familiar. It was familiar energy, so much so that you could forget that this is still shilling for a corporate brand. So to your point, like, if we really going to get into it, we really going to do some nigga shit, are you truly ready to do that? Are your shareholders ready to go that route? Because we going all the way there.
Right.
And I get, yeah.
And so, what I appreciate about the shit, because now I'm looking it up, they ain't really drop a whole lot about what they did on the show. You know what I'm saying? Like, the nuclear shit is on the show. Like, the shit that be like, ooh, wait a minute now. They ain't dropped that shit, but it's in there. You know what I'm saying? I'm seeing a couple of people clipping it, but the internet mostly looking at, he dissed Anthony Edwards. But he was like, man, I ain't even tripping on Anthony Edwards. You know what I'm saying? I like his energy.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But, you know, and then he go there. So.
And he say that in a freestyle. Like, you know, look, I ain't even, you know, almost kind of like, I'm looking past you, because not to say you a pawn, but they'll get rid of your ass if you get injured or say the wrong thing.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, you're expendable.
Right. Yeah. So his approach to it is very hip hop, and I doubt we hear more about this shit after this.
I think it's done.
Nah, I think it's done. I think they finna pay that shit off, man. Come on now. hey, man.
Oh, man.
Man, listen, man. Shit. Nah.
It is what it is.
What we gotta do?
Yeah, let's just figure it out.
Yeah, you're like the name of the show. Damn. It is what it is. What you said. You
it
know
is what it is. It's over. We done.
All right, now.
Damn.
Be easy.
Right. Y'all, all right, cool. Yeah, no need for anything else. Yeah, y'all stay cool. Exactly. Oh, shit. Speaking of peace, I feel like it's time to transform and roll out.
We had a good time, though, man. Yeah. I enjoyed working.
Yeah.
Doing the damn thing with everybody, you know, talking about shit.
Yeah.
Almost there sad to see y'all go, nigga, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, man. But y'all got to go. Y'all go somewhere else now, shit.
Peace.
Oh, man. Peace. Shit. Do remember, shout out to DJ Clue, June 22nd, Grantville, Pennsylvania, pull up on me. I will be at the Laughing Stock Comedy Club June 22nd. June 29th, I'll be in Poughkeepsie at Laugh It Up, June 29th. And then Seattle, I'll be out there August 30th and 31st at the Comedy / Bar. All the tickets are available at DamianLemon.com. Go there, click the links, and buy some tickets. for you and your squad. We're going to have a good time. Word. And until next week, tell a friend to tell a friend.
And even an enemy.
To get in the conversation. We out.
The main thing of it all is to be in the conversation.